Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balanced chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of mega doses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
One. One, two, three. Hooray! 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 Hooray!
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here at Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Magical engineer Frank's ready. I'm ready. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about, first part of the show, about that walking pneumonia that we see in the news and get a little educated about what we can do there. And we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. Today's devotional is in Proverbs 16, where it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Yeah, if you want to be established by the Lord, lifted up, protected, embraced with love and kindness, then get in the Bible and seek the Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. Yeah, that invitation does have an expiration date, so don't squander the time. Get in there. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right. Thanks, Frank. Okay. First up in the quack report, here it is. The FDA is investigating the CART gene therapy for cancer treatment. Reports patients are developing a new type of cancer after the procedure. So, one of the criticisms that many people have with modern medicine is the fact that certain types of treatments may address your original ailment, but leave you with a different one. So it appears now this could be the case with this gene therapy treatment that's being used in some patients for cancer. So the treatment in question is known as CART, and it has received approval to be used in the United States. The Food and Drug Administration approved it in 2017 to treat some types of blood cancer. So the years have passed, and the FDA has now received some reports that T-cell malignancies in certain patients who underwent these treatments, and this could include things like lymphoma, so cancer of the lymphatic system. So how this works is they remove some white blood cells known as your T-cells from the patient's blood system. They genetically engineer them with new protein switches known as chimeric antigen receptors. And these receptors enable supposedly the T-cells to attach themselves to the cancer cells and kill it. After that, the genetic engineered process is finished. The modified cells then are infused back into the patient's blood. But the T-cells are being genetically modified. A virus is used to insert the new genes into the cell's DNA. And once again, the modified T-cells that are inserted back into the patient's blood could be causing new cancers in the patient. So, you know, you genetically modify God's copyright, and this is what you're going to get. Trouble. Don't do that. All right, moving along in the quack report. Last but not least, on a happier note, less drama, fewer distractions at a Minnesota middle school, because guess what the school superintendent did? He banned the cell phones. That's right, too much screen time, bad for a young student, he said. But it looks like the middle school in Minnesota has found a way to address this problem. According to the school officials, the middle school banned students' cell phones a year ago, and it resulted in a stark difference in students' behavior and mood. According to Patrick Smith, he's Maple Grove Middle School's principal, he said before the ban was enforced,
students really didn't have meaningful conversations, even in the hallway. There was also no interaction in the hallway. So the smartphones are often causing, he said, a lot of drama amongst the students. So he explained the ban started in 2022, and when school officials said there was a ban on the students' cell phones for the entire school day from 8 in the morning till 2:40 in the p.m. in the afternoon, this was a distraction from learning, he said, and it's a major issue. But the school officials discussed the idea with the parents ahead of time before they even implemented it, and the parents were all for it. They loved it. They said it was, there was no opposition, he said, from parents. And the good news is the students are learning, the grades are up, and they're feeling happier. There you go. Get rid of the technology. Who knew? A lot of people do. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. All right, we're moving along. We're going to be talking about the walking pneumonia. Hey, Frank, have you heard about that in the news? I think a lot of people have, because the news has really been reporting on the rise in pneumonia cases, and in some cases it was described as a surge in walking pneumonia. So you may be hearing other names that are describing this problem, this condition. They're saying it's microplasma pneumonia or white lung. Have you heard that one? White lung. And these names may give the impression that it is some new form of pneumonia we should really be more concerned about. But medicine is assuring us it's not a new form of pneumonia. Oh, Frank says he avoids the news. And white lung, he thinks, didn't I call that tuberculosis? I think they called it the white plague. They didn't call it white lung because people with tuberculosis have very pale complexion. All right, so what is walking pneumonia? Well, the American Lung Association describes walking pneumonia as this. Walking pneumonia is a non-medical term for a mild case of pneumonia. A more medical correct term would be atypical pneumonia, and it can be caused by certain molds, viruses, or bacteria, often a common bacterium called microplasma pneumonia. So according to the infectious disease specialist, the fastest way to make someone sick is through the pulmonary or lungs. So if you breathe in a contagion, that's the fastest way to make people sick. All right, so states are kind of on alert, they say, listening to your news outlets. The states that are reporting a lot of cases are Ohio and Massachusetts, and I've heard from these people this week, last week too. However, other countries are also reporting cases like China and Denmark. So to be clear, pneumonia is a bacterial infection. The disease called microplasma pneumonia produces mild respiratory infection. However, if not addressed properly with a lot of nutrition and rest, the infection could become more serious, and modern medicine says there's no drug treatment for walking pneumonia. And in Ohio, the health district of Warren County reported 145 children aged 3 to 14 ill with the disease. So we're not talking about a full-blown serious bacterial pneumonia infection, which they would put you on antibiotics. We're talking about the milder form. Here is a quote from Dr. John Kelly with Redwood Pediatrics in Massachusetts. He said, there are no medications to give to cure walking RSV viral pneumonia. And once you have it, it's all supportive care. New York State Department of Health says, because microplasma infection usually resolves on its own, antibiotic treatment of mild symptoms is not always necessary. And Forbes magazine chimed in and said, there are no vaccines to prevent microplasma infection, but in severe cases, it can be treated with antibiotics if it becomes a bacterial pneumonia, end of quote. And Buddy Cheech, MD, pediatric infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt, he says, The frontline antibiotics that treat most kinds of pneumonia don't work with mycoplasma infections, end of quote. So what is white lung? You know, where did this name come in? Well, the disease described as white lung is the mycoplasma type of pneumonia. White lung is a nickname science has given this pneumonia due to the white patches that appear on the lungs during a chest x-ray. So strep infection, adenoviruses also can cause pneumonia, and we're told that these cases started in the summer, and then, you know, picked up in children and young adults in October and November. Now, respiratory syncytium virus, RSV, is also another name for viruses combined into what could be a walking pneumonia, and they think that's the kind that's circulating around western Massachusetts. Now, typically, antibiotics are not effective and are not even given, but Dr. John Kelly says viral pneumonia can mimic the flu. And a way to tell that the pulmonary is affected is to check for any shallow or fast breathing, struggling to breathe, any suction contraction around the ribs when breathing, and a spike in fever can be really, you got pneumonia, full-blown pneumonia. All right, here is a quote from the White House correspondents. They're chiming in. They say the increase in pneumonia cases is not linked to a new or novel respiratory illness, but rather a spike in normal pediatric cases, as stated that the outbreak isn't related to any other outbreaks statewide, nationally, or globally. End of quote. Well, they've got kind of the same walking pneumonia overseas, which is interesting. Well, with air travel on the holidays, it spreads. Well, let's look at some of the symptoms. Pneumonia is typical. You see it during the cold flu season. And a bout of pneumonia can last a week to a month, depending on the person's, you know, immune system. Symptoms would be sore throat, sneezing, coughing, fever and chills, runny nose, wheezing, headache, ear pain or infection, chest soreness, and nausea or vomiting. And then Dr. Kelly says this, a less serious version of the virus, respiratory syncytium virus, or RSV, will usually involve a lasting cough and flu-like symptoms. So according to Dr. Kelly, what they are seeing in Massachusetts is 80% of the kids with walking pneumonia develop the virus as a result of first having the RSV virus, which is your respiratory syncytium virus. And then they said 20% are attributed to a bacteria, which can be treated with antibiotics like Z-Pak. So 80% walking pneumonia, no treatments really, just, you know, rest, drink plenty of water, you know, get nutrition, and then the other 20% they're treating with antibiotics. All right, so, well, let's look at the pneumonia vaccine, shall we? Because, you know, they give this out to kids. Yes, they do. The pneumonia vaccine called Prinivir, used in the United States, or Prinvar, I guess is the, Prinvar is the right way to say it. It's used in the U.S. It's primarily for your Streptococcus pneumonia bacterium. According to Scientific Medicine, the vaccine can't prevent all cases or types of pneumonia, and the vaccine is advertised as, quote, lowering the chances of catching pneumonia. Therefore, you can still get pneumonia even after you get the vaccine. And people who are more vulnerable to getting pneumonia are also encouraged to get the vaccine. So here's a list of those that are at high risk. People with weak immune systems, diabetics, people with heart disease, asthmatics, or people with emphysema, HIV/AIDS patients, organ transplant patients, cancer and chemotherapy patients, smokers, here's the reason, the hairs inside the lungs are designed to filter out pathogens and they get damaged due to smoking. Also, heavy drinkers, because it lowers your white blood cell count. And also post-trauma patients, because they're all stressed trying to heal and their body's already busy. Now, there are two pneumonia vaccines. One is supposed to protect you from 13 bacterial types of pneumonia. It's called PCV13. And the other vaccine, 23 types of pneumonia called PPSV23. And let's see, medicine actually often prescribes both vaccines to patients, especially the elderly. And they usually give it once, but there is a possibility of needing a booster. And the symptoms reported after getting the vaccines are fever, tenderness, redness, and swelling at the injection site, irritability, flu symptoms, loss of appetite, sore muscles, and allergic reactions, they say, are rare. Now, I want to make something straight. I tell you about the vaccines, not that I'm a proponent for them. I'm just reporting on them. Actually, I don't personally use vaccines myself, but I just don't want to give the impression that I'm telling you to go get a vaccine. That's not what I'm doing. Ingredients in your pneumonia vaccines. All right, so ingredient list for these vaccines really isn't something you'd like to see on your dinner plate. Heavy metals are also not healthy for the human body, especially the brain. So here's the list. 2.0 milligrams of polysaccharides, which is a cellulose sugar molecule from 14 serotypes or strains of microorganism, bacteria, or viruses. And then they have 4.0 milligrams of polysaccharide cellulose sugar molecule from 6B serotype pneumonia strains. Yummy. Then they have 30 milligrams of CRM197, which is a carrier protein, which is genetically modified diphtheria toxin, used as a carrier protein in vaccines for strep, influenza, meningitis, and pneumonia pathogens. Also included is 1.55 milligrams of L-histidine, which is a positively charged amino acid that is used in the biosynthesis of the proteins. And then they have 4.5 milligrams of sodium chloride and 125 milligrams of aluminum phosphate, which is your adjuvant, which is a heavy metal. Now, here's what the research says. The shots are not effective. Scientific research. Really? Scientific research has been reporting for some time that the pneumonia vaccines are not effective as advertised. Here is Oxford Academic. They said this in 2010. There is debate surrounding the effectiveness of the 23-valent pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine. End of quote. So Oxford Academic did a study and they followed 2,950 patients over the age of 60 for almost 4 years after getting the pneumonia vaccine, and they found that the vaccine did not prevent pneumonia infections or hospitalizations or death. And this is what Oxford says. They said one half of patients discharged from the hospital after pneumonia die or after subsequently hospitalized with a vaccine-preventable infection within 5 years. Your PPV or PPSV23 vaccine, they said, was not associated with a reduced risk of death or hospitalization. Better pneumococcal vaccination strategies are urgently needed. End of quote. Ooh. So it appears that at least one version of the pneumonia vaccine, your PPSV23, is not highly effective at preventing pneumonia. In fact, the report from Oxford Academic stated that the vaccine does not reduce the risk of death or hospitalization from pneumonia, especially for patients previously hospitalized with pneumonia or for the high-risk patient groups. So the Oxford Academic report confirmed that the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center reported back in 2008. And in addition, they stated that the vaccine used in other countries like the sub-Saharan region of Africa were not effective. Here's what they said. This is National Library of Medicine Biotechnology. And this source came from a publication called Conflicts of Interest in Vaccine Economic Research, a commentary with a cast of study pneumococcal conjugate vaccinations, which was published in the journal Vaccine in 2004. They said this, according to the WHO data, the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine, or your PCV13, is an ineffective instrument for pneumonia prevention in children. There was also an increased incidence of asthma, which will deter the use of the vaccine, especially in children. So here, two scientific reports state that each version of the pneumonia vaccine are not effective. And we have several reports stating the pneumonia vaccine is especially useless in the prevention of pneumonia infection, hospitalization, and death for the young and old. And yet, for 20 years, the vaccines are still recommended and used in medicine. Patients are told the vaccine can help them avoid pneumonia, illness, and death when the truth, well, it just doesn't. And let's consider the reasons why. Out of pocket, your pneumonia vaccine costs anywhere from $200 to $250. Health insurance usually covers the entire cost of this vaccine. 65% of the United States adults, 65 to 74 years of age, get the pneumonia vaccine. That's 33.1 million people. 75% of U.S. adults, 75 years old, get the pneumonia vaccine. That's 22,874 people. And 82% of U.S. children get the pneumonia vaccine. That's 15 million children. So using a $200 price per vaccine, the pneumonia shot pays the vaccine manufacturers, well, children, pneumonia vaccine shot brings them $3 billion. 75-year-olds getting the shot, 4.6 million. And 65 to 74-year-old age group, 6.6 billion. So $10 billion roughly is the reason the pneumonia vaccine is still promoted and sold in the United States. The net earnings are much higher if you consider the global use of the pneumonia vaccines. But there's some good news, and I can see by the clock we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about avoiding pneumonia, some things we can do, and then, of course, some nice tricks of the trade that I have used over the years that really help out. So when we come back, we're going to, you know, close this out, this segment, with some positive things that we can do to protect ourselves. So we'll be right back.
Baby's good to me, you know she's happy as can be, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine, you know she tells me all the time, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Right, we're back here on Herb Talk. Thank you, Frank. We're going to be talking about avoiding pneumonia here for a few minutes, and avoiding pneumonia won't be 100% preventable, but there are ways to naturally reduce the likelihood of getting it. So here's a few things, common sense stuff, you probably already know it. You know, during outbreaks, you want to avoid crowds, okay? You want to reduce or avoid refined sugar because it does lower your immune system. Asthmatics, avoid cow's milk products, including butter. It creates a lot of mucus and makes it harder to breathe. Also, wash your hands frequently, as you know, especially after touching what I call transmission surfaces. That would be, you know, public door handles, shopping carts, gas pumps, and service counters. Avoid eating out or getting takeout during the cold and flu season, because if you want to get sick, do that, because people that work in these places are usually coming to work sick. So, also use immune support supplements often and reduce or avoid dehydration beverages like caffeine and alcohol. And if you're traveling by air, the most contaminated surface on the airplane is the tray you fold down in front of you, because you have to fold those up to exit the plane, you know, to leave your seat, and the cleaning crews never clean them. So, all right, let's look at some pneumonia herbs, you know, because there are some lovely herbal supplements that, you know, they can really assist the body in recovering from pneumonia pretty quickly. I like to use a combination of things like echinacea root, Siberian ginseng, garlic, and I like to pair those with Parta Arco inner bark. So this combination lifts the body's energy and helps the immune system kill the infection. Now, for the congestion part, I like to use the lobelia herb, and it's in a liquid form. And this helps dilate the bronchial tubes and helps loosen sticky mucus and to deliver more power in the cough to help you purge the mucus so you get more power behind your cough. Actually, when you take it, you'll have an urge to cough in 5 minutes. So you can look for these herbs It's called a pneumonia kit at Apothecary Herbs. And I also like to layer in maybe thyme tincture. It helps rest the cough, especially at night when you need to get some sleep and some rest. So you may need to layer some of that. And also the taifu oil, which is lovely. It helps disinfect the airway and shrink your swollen pathogens. So this isn't anything you ingest. You just put some in your hand, rub your palms, cook over your nose and mouth, breathe deep. And it has a very relaxing effect, so you could definitely use that before bed. So you can look for all these formulas, the thyme tincture, the taifu, your pneumonia kit, and plus other immune support formulas at Apothecary Herbs. They have a toll-free number, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. International is 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972 or thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. They have a new product catalog. They expect the end of December. So if you're interested in a catalog, definitely request one either on the website or over the phone. And you can request one by email if you want to. And they'll put you on the list. So that we're all excited about the new catalog coming. Also, if you're on the website and you like to get healthy information that'll empower you every week, well, then tap into their newsletters, the Health Quest and the American Survival. They're both available on the powerherbs.com website. You just click on books and newsletters and you sign up there for free. You have to have an email to get the newsletters. They're not delivered by snail mail. So, enjoy. All right, so we're going to jump in here, and we're going to talk about viruses a little bit, you know, because we've got a lot of things circulating right now this time of year. So we're going to look at the virus. You know, they go and hunt for these things. This is what virologists do. And sometimes, you know, they're on a global hunt for viruses. I mean, there's no bat cave that they won't go into. So they seem to go to really great lengths to uncover unknown ancient viruses, which are, you know, still preserved, if you will. You know, they're alive and active. And last time I checked, research scientists discovered a virus that they estimated was 700 years old. They found it in the frozen Arctic. Mm-hmm. So this was back in October 2014. They said this new virus was discovered in the frozen frozen caribou poop, Frank. And scientists studied the genomes of the ancient virus, and their research on the evolution of this ancient virus was published in the National Academy of Sciences. So if there is enough of the ancient genetic material, the scientists attempt to isolate it, preserve it as a viral sample, and then they try to replicate it. So the virus in the caribou droppings turned out to be an insect-infecting virus that they called the Northwest Territories cryptovirus. And they tested the virus by infecting tobacco plants with it, and then, you know, the plant did become infected, and then the virus replicated, spreading throughout that plant. And scientists are assuring us that the plant viruses are not dangerous whatsoever. And what is even more incredible, that they have rediscovered viruses that, you know, aren't good for our fragile ecosystem or us. You know, but they go to make bioweapons out of the stuff. Or they think they can, you know, save crops by injecting it with viruses and stuff like that. Now, apparently, there's no place too cold for them to go. More viruses seem to be uncovered in some of the coldest climates. And one thing is revealed is that these viruses, they actually can survive in these cold temperatures. So scientists in Siberia found an unknown virus in the frozen Arctic tundra. And this would be the fourth virus they found in frozen tundra in about 12 years. So this latest virus is much older. And French scientists estimate it's 30,000 years old, and they call it the Mullavirus sibiricum. So this research was reported back in September 2015, was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And what makes the molyvirus different is that it's considered what is known as a giant virus with more than 500 genes. So in comparison, an influenza virus has 8 genes. An HIV virus has 9. So scientists are saying that this is a giant virus. It's not rare, and it's rare, and it infects single cells. So what scientists are learning is that some viruses can survive long periods of time in sub-zero temperatures, and they continue to scour the permafrost for more new viruses because they think there are even more deadly pathogens lurking and waiting to be discovered and unlocked. Yeah. Why would you want to do that? Well, they think they're protecting mankind by bringing them back. Now, according to virologist Jonathan Ball of the University of Nottingham, how long a virus can remain virulent or infectious in permafrost is a guess, and it's going to depend actually on the virus, and some can be quite robust, he said. So he explains that his staff can freeze viruses in a lab for, you know, preserving them, and if they are the type of virus that have a lipid envelope, where like your influenza and your HIV do, they are more fragile, he says. If the virus has an external protein shell, like your foot and mouth disease and your common cold viruses have, they have a better chance of survival when they are thawed out. So in a natural environment where viruses may freeze and then thaw out, perhaps many times, then this creates a damaged effect. However, if the virus survives it will find a host fairly quickly and live again. Now, viruses pretty much are dead until they find a host. They're not really living and replicating unless they have a host to do that in. So you got this feel of paleovirology. And scientists are scavenging for ancient viruses in unique places, like fossils, Frank. And the field is called paleovirology and is kind of enveloped with regard to viral genetic materials. And scientists in this field look for viral genomes and their replication strategies, and they compare them to a standard classification that they have on record. Now, some viruses they uncover are animal or plant or even human. And most of the DNA viruses that they discover are in a group called hepatoviruses or hepatitis B-type viruses. So their goal with all the unknown viruses is to resurrect them, research them, study them. But back in November 2006, an article that appeared in the Scientific American said, how to resurrect an extinct retrovirus. You know, sort of like, how do we bring back the dinosaurs? Why would you want to? So they study the evolution of viruses, you know, and if any one person should understand about evolution, well, as scientists, right? They love it. So I personally really don't believe in the theory of evolution. And viruses, bacteria, and animal species can become naturally extinct over the course of history. So if the process is natural, why would scientists want to tinker with it and rescue viruses that have been known to be out of circulation for thousands of years? So, well, they want to make a name for themselves. They're looking at the dollar signs. And there are several reasons that the scientific community gives such accolades to this, adding to their knowledge, their repertoire of viruses in vitro, and the excitement of discovery and notoriety. And it exercises a lot of power. You know, we can preserve this, and we can make it a good thing for mankind. So, yeah. Well, it's just to make more vaccines. Just another reason to give you another jab. Basically. So let's look at the dangers and the benefits. So scientific germ research has become more sophisticated over the years to help unlock the gene codes of viruses and bacteria. And by the way, we have more viruses than we do bacteria. So when they discover something, it has to be powerful, highly powerful. It has to be a highly powerful microorganism. And microbiologists, when they realize this, they can then start the wheels turning to maybe manipulate or genetically modify, mutate it, make another pathogen out of it because it'll be their own design. They can patent, you know, the Fauci syndrome. Well, a virus is a bacterium that is not originally airborne, but with a tweak from science can become a super spore and rip through the human body with ungodly speed that is scary. They can do that. So according to microbiologist David Realm, he's at Stanford University, he warns his colleagues in that field that experiments just for the sake of experimentation can offer high risk, which is not worth any of the potential benefit. He says it is known as a gain of function. Does that ring a bell? And in the scientific world, he says, you know, they kind of got blindfolds on. He says there are scientists experimenting with some really bad bugs that when you add other genes to them, the result could be giving the new pathogen some new and deadly ability. They're playing God here. They like to create. And he says this ethical stance is spilling over into all of the scientific community. The National Academy of Science has held numerous meetings to try to deal with this, and it is an official controversial Pandora's box, he said. For example, he says ferrets often are used in research because when compared to humans, they have a similar immune system. So what did the scientific community do with regards to studying the H1N1 bird flu? Well, they experimented with it using ferrets as a stand-in for people, and they wanted to see how easy it would be to make the virus only known to infect birds to jump the gap and infect a human. So what they created was a super flu with the capability of becoming a pandemic in people. So now the H1N1 substrains, A and B, are in the seasonal flu vaccines. And it would appear that for the sake of experimenting, they have created a health risk to humans and now say, to protect yourself, you have to get injected with the bird flu vaccine every year. Now, apparently, the National Academy of Sciences and the government were really concerned enough to stop all experiments at the University of North Carolina last time. This happened in 2014 because they were working with some worrisome respiratory viruses, highly pathogenic and, well, in humans. So the Academy hopes to, you know, pull together some guidance, recommendations on how pathogens should be evaluated and dealt with and worked with in the laboratories. And they have developed an advisory committee, the National Science Advisory Board of Biosecurity, to help make some of those determinations and answer public questions. Yeah. Put the brakes on, guys. When did we stop calling this bio warfare? Right. I know. I know, Frank. That's what Frank said. Well, I'm just saying. They're looking for stuff. And what did the Bible say in the Old Testament? It said Israel was afraid of the plagues of Egypt. But Moses said, you'll be afraid of the pathogens, the plagues that aren't written in this book. That's where we're at today. That warning was for us. See, when you disobey, when a nation disobeys, guess what? You're going to get plagues. And we get plagues. What? Pretty frequently now. Plagues used to be random in nature. You know? Maybe every 50 years. What's this every 2 year thing? or 3 or 4 year thing. Well, it's man-made is what it is. All right. Let's see. We got a few minutes when I gotta pick a topic I can fit in here in the short time that we have left. So while we were doing the Quack Report, we were talking about, you know, the treatment genetically altering the white blood cells, and then of course these people, you know, would kill the original cancer, but then get in lymphoma. So let's look at how we can protect our blood. First of all, don't ever turn your blood over to somebody to genetically modify anything. So one way to prevent diseases is really to protect your life source, which is your blood system, because your blood system is carrying your antibodies, your antibody cells, and you got many of them. You got adaptogen cells, you got white blood cells, you got these different cells that the immune system uses. And the way it gets around to cure you of infections is the blood system. So you want to keep the blood system really healthy. So every 2 seconds, someone in the United States is in need of blood, and the average need is about 3 pints. And the most requested blood type is O negative, which is usually the universal blood type. A mere 7% of the U.S. population is type O negative. So the last thing you want to do is to contaminate your blood and wind up with a hematological disease. So there are many types of blood diseases, sickle cell, bleeding disorders, platelet disorders, hemophilia, anemia. And there are also risks associated with blood transfusions containing sick blood. And sickle cell patients require frequent blood transfusions, like 80,000 sickle cell patients in the United States. And cancer patients often need healthy blood when enduring chemo. So car accident victims need blood, sometimes 100 pints of it if they're in trauma. And there are also 5 million patients in the United States who require blood every year. Less than 38% of the U.S. population is eligible to give blood. So at this point, they're, you know, trying to make synthetic blood and all kinds of things. Platelets alone must be used just within 5 days. And donated blood has a shelf life of 42 days. So, I used to work in a hospital, I used to work in intensive care, and we do types of blood matches on patients, and, you know, you would get platelets in a separate bag from the other blood cells, you know? All right, so what's the blood's job other than circulation? Well, we don't think of the blood as living tissue, but that's exactly what it is. Your blood is made up of liquid and solid. Scientifically speaking, your liquid part of your blood is called plasma and consists of water, salt, and protein. And more than half of the blood contains this plasma. And your solid part of the blood contains red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. And every part of your blood has a specific job to do. The red blood cells must deliver oxygen from your lungs to all the living tissues and major organs. And by the way, if you're low in iron, it struggles to do that. Platelets help the blood to clot, preventing hemorrhaging, loss of blood, and blood pressure issues. And the lifespan of your blood cells is pretty short. Red blood cells, about 120 days. Platelets, 6 days. And your white blood cells, your antibodies, 1 day. And these cells are constantly being replaced with new cells made in your bone marrow. And how fast are these components of the blood being made by your bone marrow? While our bodies are constantly manufacturing blood, some components of your blood are replenished in just a few hours and others a few weeks. Okay? So you got to have healthy bones to have a healthy blood. So what are the signs that your blood may be not so healthy? Well, you may be fatigued a lot, have constant sick feeling. You get sick a lot. You experience unexplained weight loss or have shortness of breath. So aside from getting sick blood from a transfusion, you can infect the blood with bacteria through injections, you know, drug use, tattoos, vaccines, and also from radiation exposure, chemotherapy, electrolyte metabolic deficiencies. Pregnancy also can cause a problem, chemical poisoning, cancer, heart disease, kidney malfunction, and prescription medications, as well as gastrointestinal disease, and a small part is hereditary. So these are approximately 8,700 deaths a year from blood conditions. So that is about 23 people per day that die from having sick blood. Trace minerals are going to be real important for healthy blood. If we don't get enough of those, your bones aren't healthy and they're not making healthy blood, so your bones have to have the minerals. Electrolytes are very essential for blood as well to hold on to the fluid and protein and oxygen. So trace minerals, important. First thing you get when you go into a hospital, you get an IV drip with salt, which is minerals. Your ocean salt should have 83 microminerals in it. Processed salt doesn't have any. Now, natural sources of nutrients can help provide some really good balance to help your body make healthy blood. So certified organic sources of certain nutritional elements can help you out. So let's talk about some blood foods for a sec. A few healthy hitter foods that help build the blood system. Your sun-dried organic salt that has the minerals in it we talked about just a minute ago. It doesn't promote hypertension. Beetroot also has lots of minerals in it, and it helps reboost the blood system usually in about 24 hours. Do not cook the beets. You want to juice raw beets. Lots of natural iron to help your blood hold on to that oxygen, transport it to the cells and all your organs. So best way to fast track iron into the blood is to juice some raw beets and drink the juice, maybe almost a gallon within 2 days. So if that's not possible to juice, then use some powdered beets, add it to juice or water, it's water soluble, and drink that, and that helps as well. Also your red and blue fruits and vegetables, also your purple, any of these pigment foods are going to help. Seaweed also contains some minerals as well as sunflower seeds. Some other foods that are going to be healthy are alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, lots of minerals in them, help also to detoxify your blood system. And also red clover's nice as well, and some other things, golden seal root. And so if you're looking for, I'm out of time, but if you're looking for some really nice herbs for blood cleansing and blood building, go to the folks at thepowerherbs.com. They got a blood cleanse that can help, and also the Body Foundation food mix with that natural beet in there and alfalfa and all those wonderful greens. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And don't forget to get on that list for their new catalog coming the end of December. Well, I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.